Tracy, you know, so often it's been such a joy all these years to be able to serve here and just to fall in love with the people here. And a lot of times I was thinking as I hear different ones sing, so many of you, I know your heart. And I not only hear your talent, but I hear your heart, the worship. And worship is just such a blessing. I want to thank you. I got word with a family that we were able to minister to over Christmas and bring Christmas to a family of five kids and a grandmother and the struggles that, you know, must occur in that situation. And man, I'm always amazed by your generosity. You are such a generous people. I heard not only were there gifts, but there was this great meal, you know, that got together and was brought over to them. And man, the kids even got McDonald's gift cards and just great ways of expressing love to them. And I want to thank you because, man, people need to know somebody cares. And we are able to be Jesus. We are not Jesus, as was pointed out in Sunday school. We're Christians, not Christ. But by the same token, people see Jesus when we love them. So I just want to commend you for all that. Everybody that was a part of that, and thank you for being a witness of Christ Christmas. Thank you for that. Our text, I'm going to switch this. I'm holding this. I want to hold the Bible and put this down here. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. I'm going to ask if you'll stand our great God's honor as I read our text. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Let's pray. Thank you, O God, for your mercy, Lord. Thank you, God, that you made me a people, your people. And that is the testimony of everyone in Jesus. And Father, I just thank you for the blessing of your Spirit thus far in the service. Help me not mess that up, Lord, as I have an opportunity to be a part. And I just pray, oh God, that you would just continue working and that we would hear from you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You know, it's funny, I got a call last night, you know, I tell you all the time about my friend Barry, and he's a guitarist, and he plays for his praise band at church, and he called me last night, and he said, man, I'm going to this meeting tonight where the band's getting together, and we're going to be on the internet, and I don't know who all's going to be seeing it, and he said, I don't know, I'm afraid, I'm nervous about this, and he said, what if I mess up? And so I said, what if you mess up? I said, man, you can't think like that. I said, just serve Jesus with the way He has gifted you. If I sat here and worried about, what if I say the wrong words? And sometimes I have that. You would think as long as I did this, I wouldn't get scared. But sometimes it's like, ooh. I try not to let you show the shaking. But sometimes that happens. But God calls us not to be perfect, but to serve and love Him. So just serve and love Him and do the best you can. And, you know, of course, that's what I told my friend. That's what I say to you guys as well. Let's just serve Jesus out of a heart of worship. And if we mess up, guess what? He is not surprised. He sees it, and He accepts us. Okay, let me jump into the message here. Treasures. What is a treasure to you? I thought about this, and I thought about my first treasure that I have a memory of. I was 2 years old. And I had this shirt that it was precious to me. It was a treasure. I didn't want to take it off. I wore it so much that it was worrying my family. I think they thought it was just going to become a part of my permanent skin because I had worn it for so long. Plus, I'm sure it started to smell a little bit. And so they came up with this plan where they cornered me one day, and I was screaming and fighting with all of my might. But it wasn't enough because I was two. And they managed to get my shirt off, and they threw it behind the refrigerator. where I think it stayed a couple of years. So I lost my precious treasure. And Tim and Karen are sick this morning. I was going to tell them, or this was for Tim. Y'all can tell him this if you see him. I think it was number 23. So I'm upset Michael Jordan took my number. You know, I'm pretty sure I wore it before he did. But all kidding aside, when we think about treasures, maybe your treasure's in a bank account or a safety deposit box, or maybe it's stored in your mattress or under your bed or wherever your treasure is. But the Scripture tells us that God's most precious treasure is not found in a bank. Guys, it's you. It is you. And our text tells us, notice how it starts out here. He starts out, he says, but you. Now, it's not true for those who don't know Jesus. Those who don't know Jesus, man, they just think, what is wrong with those people? Why do they get so excited about this Jesus? Why do they get up and meet together? And why do they serve others in the community? And why do they seem so passionate and excited? Well, what is this about? Matter of fact, the whole text, it starts out here in our text, starting at verse 4, he talks about, guys, you came to him as a living stone, the one who was rejected by men but chosen by God and precious to him. And he says, he's made us living stones into a holy priesthood meant to serve him. I love this. It says, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God in Jesus Christ. Man, we can worship and it's acceptable to him because it's through Jesus. I had a night, I couldn't sleep on vacation one night. I'm trying to get back in gear now, but that holiday eating, I was eating stuff, and my stomach didn't agree, and said, why are you doing this? You know, that's what. And so one night I got up, I couldn't sleep, and a friend of mine had written me something of that he was struggling with, he was dealing with, and there was this link to a Christian hymn, beautiful hymn, I listened to it. Anyway, to get to the point, I started listening to music for the next 2 hours, nobody else was up, and I just started weeping. Because it was powerful music about Jesus and how we worship Him and how He loves us. And man, it just got in my heart. And I felt kind of a healing within me as I worship. And the part of He's made us living stones that are alive, and He is the cornerstone. He's the foundation of our faith in Christ Jesus. You know, it's in Christ Jesus. And then he goes on, he says, you're living stones, and you are fit into a building, his building, the church of Jesus Christ, and he has fit each of us just where he wants us to be so that we can fit together to form his presence, the presence of God. And yet he goes on in this text, and he says, hey, to you he is a precious cornerstone, but to those who reject him, he is a rock that makes people stumble and makes them fall. They don't understand, they don't see, they don't know him, they don't know of his love. They either think he doesn't matter or they think he's mad at them, and none of that is true. That is the power of the gospel, that his love is so great, that what Christmas was about. He left the comfort of heaven and made himself vulnerable as a baby. He gave himself. So that leads us to our text. And I just want to take a little bit of time here and look at the description that he has of you and me in Christ. First he tells us, he says, you are a chosen race. That word race is reference to having a common ancestor. You're going all the way back into the family tree to where it first started. And thus, because of that, we're all related. We're all kin in Christ. I love John chapter 1, verse 12. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. If you have had an encounter with Jesus Christ, you are a family. You're kin. You're a child of God. And that's what this is talking about. You are a chosen race, handpicked by Almighty God, who came out of His love, and He came to pursue us and to bring us into His wonderful, beautiful family. I had an experience before I left to go on vacation. I was getting dressed in the wide dressing room, and some guy, I don't remember if I said anything or somebody else, but he found out I was a pastor. And so anyway, I got dressed, got outside. This guy, he says, "Hey, Todd, you got a minute?" Well, it's cold outside, and I'm kind of shivering. I got a coat on. Well, 40 minutes later, I finally got in my car. But what had happened, he came out there, and he said, "I just want to tell you my story." He said, "I was born in another state in the north, and he said, I grew up in a Catholic church, but I never understood what faith was about. I never understood about Jesus." He said, "I came down here, I went to a Baptist church, I heard the gospel, and I became a Christian." And man, 40 minutes, he was laying there, he was telling me, and he was excited, and I was excited. And we might have went into that parking lot as strangers, but we didn't leave the parking lot as strangers. We were kin. We were family because of Christ. We're a chosen race, man. He has put us together through the power of Jesus. All right, secondly, a royal priesthood, it tells us. In the Scriptures, in the Old Covenant, the offices of priest and king were separate. They were not to come together. They were separate functions. And, at first sight, it would be easy to think of the tribe of Levi, the priestly tribe, and of Aaron, the priest. But there's another priest that is mentioned in Genesis 14. And I believe this reference is more to that priest, a guy by the name of Melchizedek. And he was a kingly priest. He did not inherit that job. God appointed him to that job. He called him to that job. And it is a description of the fact that we are brought together into the family of royalty. And a priest is one who speaks between man and God. And so we are royalty who share the message that God does not hate you, that God loves you, and He wants to reach out to you and bring you into His family. That is the call that He gives us as a royal priesthood. It says in Revelation chapter 20, verse 6, that the redeemed church will be priests of God and will reign with Christ for 1,000 years. And then the holy nation. The word holy means to be separate. And it is a picture here of a community that held together by common customs, laws, and practices. And yet we know often in every culture there is a distinct difference in certain ways between the call of Christ and the culture, what goes on day to day where you live. And it was certainly true in that day, and it is certainly true today. As I looked at this, I thought of the differences of the views in marriage and parenting and in family. And one example, as I read about in preparing the message, was a church leader named Clement from Alexandria. And he wrote about the Roman government and the citizens who were saving and protecting baby birds, but they would abandon their own children. And many had abortions. There was more respect for baby birds than for their own babies. And of course, some things really don't change that much. Even in our own culture, there are those who have laws to protect whales and baby eaglets, the eagle eggs, and yet there are so many abortions every year. So many lives that are taken. Listen, this is from a book, How Christianity Changed the World. And in it, the author, Alvin Smith, he talks about in A.D. 379, 379 years before Jesus, the church leaders publicly condemned the practice of selling aborted babies to the manufacturers of beauty cream. Wait a minute, I got it backwards. I'm sorry, this is after his death. AD, this is 379 years after Christ. So see there again, I'm not going to worry about this for the rest of... But 379 years after Jesus. The church leaders came out and said, man, don't kill babies just to make beauty cream, just to make cosmetics. That is wrong. That happened 379 years after Jesus. Some of the things we face today are they're not new, totally new, but we're called to have a different picture of life. Man, people matter. I don't care how big they are or how small they are. I don't care if they're in the womb or out of the womb. I don't care if they're in a nursing home or if they're in a home in your neighborhood. They matter. They matter. Last one of these. A people belonging to God. I kind of like the old King James translation in this. It says, a peculiar people. Some of you guys, I'm a little peculiar out there. I've been accused of that as well. The word peculiar literally means belonging to another. And so the picture here is that you are a people who belong to Jesus. I love it as it says in 1 Corinthians 6, he says, you were bought with a price. See, that's part of what Calvary was about. He gave all that he is with a holy exchange of all that we were and gave us his righteousness. And we belong to him as a result of his work. I love 1 Peter 1:18 where he says, for you know it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. In other words, man, we have hope because Jesus gave it all so we might have it all in relationship to the living God, that we might be made right with him. All right, the treasure on display. So, what are we going to do about it? Well, look here in the last part of verse 9. He says, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. That phrase declare, that word declare, man, it speaks of an advertisement of making widely known. And so the picture is, you might be a walking billboard for Jesus. You might be a commercial for Jesus. That he has transformed your life. That he has forgiven you. That he has given you hope. That he has given you a reason to get out of bed in the morning. And so that all of that might be revealed. Christ in you. The Dark Ages were called the Dark Ages for a reason. There was no sense of hope, and the gospel and the scriptures were hidden. But when God began to move and the gospel was revealed, there was a phrase among the early reformers, a Latin phrase that literally meant out of the darkness, light. That's our testimony. Ephesians 5, verse 8, once you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. That's the testimony. The dark ages were dark no more because darkness had been infiltrated by light. You see, darkness is merely the absence of light. Once light enters in, there's no more darkness. And in the case of a change from the dark ages to a new age, there was a light of Christ that was presented, and it made all of the difference. Hey, to have a passion. To have a passion and understand who you are and whose you are, it makes a difference. So many things we have a passion about, it's like, why are we so passionate about that, you know? But we really ought to be passionate about our Lord. When we went to Florida, we decided we don't have room to pack a bunch of toys for Atticus. So, you know, no superhero costumes and no Nerf guns and all that kind of stuff. So anyway, we get down there and Lydia and Nathan went with us. And man, I think Atticus loves Lydia and Nathan other than his parents. They might be top of the ladder there, those two. So anyway, we're down there and he started this thing. He says, I try to go in the room where I get dressed and he's in there. Get out of here. This is my headquarters. I said, headquarters for what? He said, McDonald's. I said, really? So we'd get in the car and we'd go back from Cindy's brother at night and he'd say, Aunt Lydia, we need to play McDonald's. I'm like, okay. So Aunt Lydia says, welcome to McDonald's. Captain America, Spider-Man, and Iron Man are here to serve you. May I take your order? And Atticus would say, I want a Big Mac, fry, sweet tea. Okay, so anyway, you know, we'd be playing this game. And he would get so excited about that. He was so passionate about playing McDonald's, you know. Man, so many things we get excited about. What is more exciting than the gospel? What is more exciting than knowing that God loves you? What is more exciting than knowing that His forgiveness is complete? You know, I love that part of the gospel prayer where it says, there is nothing you can do to make Him love you more, and nothing that you have done to make Him love you less. Amen. That's the power of the gospel. People need to see. They need to see Him. They need to see His grace. They need to see how He has pardoned us. I love the last part of our text where He tells us, once you were not a people, now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Mercy, you know, grace is getting what you don't deserve. Mercy is not getting what you do deserve. We have received God's mercy. We will not receive what we deserve because of Christ. How beautiful. There's a story told of Napoleon where one of his soldiers fell out of favor with him and he was to be executed. And the soldier's mom came to Napoleon and begged for mercy for her son. Please show my son mercy. And he said, he doesn't deserve mercy. And she said, I understand that. She said, all I ask for is mercy. I know he doesn't deserve it. And Napoleon pardoned him. Because it wasn't about what he deserved. It was about what he needed. And I, for one, am so thankful that God does not give me what I deserve, but what I need. I want to close with a Puritan prayer. Mighty yet merciful, how could it be? The high King of heaven extends grace to me. My sins were many, my merits were none. But you are the mighty yet merciful one. Justice and power are held in your hand. But you stoop to shoulder the shame of man. This holy mystery is hard to believe. Forgiveness shown by royalty. Mighty yet merciful. How could it be? The high King of heaven extends grace to me. My sins were many, my merits were none, but you are the mighty, yet merciful one. Let's pray. God, we are grateful, Lord, for you, God. And you announce who we are in Christ. And so, Father, I pray for someone here who has not been adopted into the family of Christ yet. What a great day for that to happen, Lord. You asked for them to run to you, Lord, that you will not reject them, but that you will receive them. And so, Father, as we have a time we call response or invitation, I just ask any open heart here would come, Lord, to you and say, I need Jesus, and God, I just forgive me. And then with a hunger and a desire to tell the people of God what happened, because that's when we know that it's real. So, Father, if you're dealing with someone out there, what a great time to come to this altar to pray or to come and to share, to at this moment come to Christ and to share with everybody here that, you know, Jesus saved me. So, Father, however you want to work, whether it's to come to the altar to pray, whether it's to deal with a decision that you have been speaking to us about, maybe for a while, what a great time to settle with Him. It's always good to say yes to you, Lord. There's no regrets with that. So, Father, I pray you might work among us as we stand, as we sing, as we obey. In Christ's name.